Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. Our show and tell this morning is Covenant's video editing studio, where I've been busy over the past several days compiling our Christmas Eve service. Again, our Christmas Eve service premieres this Thursday at 6 o'clock on both Facebook Live and on YouTube, which will be embedded on our church website. The Christmas Eve service will feature kids reading the Christmas story, including the scriptures that we have worshiped around this Advent, and it will include music from all ages. Our congregation on Thursday evening, as we are right now, will worship together in many different places. And I can tell you that I pictured you while I was recording my parts for the service. This is not how we wanted Christmas to go. But I'm not willing to celebrate the Lord of Life with a super spreader event. I'm grateful for this technology that allows us to make connections that we wouldn't otherwise be able to make, even though it's not the same. The first Christmas is not how we wanted it to be either, as we know very well. We even know that the imperfections of that first Christmas are part of what render that story so beautiful. In last week's scripture reading, a young woman who had just learned that she would be Jesus' mother went to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. Elizabeth was too old for children, but she was pregnant with a child of her own. And now in today's scripture reading, Elizabeth is 9 months along, and you know what that means. Will you pray with me? God Most High, we seek you in these words of Scripture. Overshadow us with your Holy Spirit, and let your beloved Son be born in us again. Amen. The scripture reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 80. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's hard for a lot of us that Christmas is not going to be how we want it to be this year. And particularly now, as we sort of head into the week when Christmas will happen, kind of whether we're ready for it or not, it can be hard for us to be up against the traditions and the expectations that this season is always filled with, and knowing that many traditions are going to happen very differently this year, if they happen at all. We may go into this particular week with a sense of sadness. We may go into this week with a sense of relief that finally those things that always happened in a certain way don't have to happen in that same way this year. Or we may enter with that sense of sadness, that knowledge that that food that someone always brings won't be there this year. Or that hustle and bustle and noise that maybe you savor every year won't be there the way that it has been. Not to mention the over 300,000 people in the United States alone who won't be there this year due to COVID. Christmas is never exactly the way that we would prefer Christmas to be. It never goes exactly the way that we would want it to. Services like Blue Christmas help us to make sense of the way that Christmas doesn't work the way that we might want it to. It can help us make sense of that even in normal years with normal everyday kinds of hurts, or those particular hurts that will never seem everyday and that become so much bigger for us during a Christmas holiday season. And I think a service like Blue Christmas is even more needed this year when it seems like everything is happening in a way that we would rather it didn't this year. It's a way for us to make room for reality. The reality that Christmas never goes quite right. And it may help to remember that Christmas doesn't happen because we did everything right. It doesn't happen because everything goes the way it's supposed to go. We don't make Christmas happen. Instead, what we do is we prepare for whatever is going to happen as Christmas comes. We prepare for whatever is coming, and then something happens, and that's Christmas. That's why we use words like magical or miracle to talk about Christmas, because grace just happens. It happens often without our input. Grace happens even when everything seems to be going wrong. Grace happens in ways that we just can't control, can't even create the conditions for. Grace just happens. That's why Advent is not a season of getting everything right. Advent is a season of preparing. Preparing for what is coming. Our Bible story this morning sits at that intersection between getting ready for what's coming and the idea that we might somehow have control over what's coming. At least from one angle, our scripture reading this morning is about Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and his need to get out of the way because Elizabeth is delivering an Advent miracle this morning. 3 weeks ago, we met Zechariah and briefly met Elizabeth. We met Zechariah when an angel came to him as he was doing his duties in the temple, an angel came and told Zechariah that he and Elizabeth would have a son. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth had been around the block a number of times, and they had never had children. They had desperately wanted to, and by now they were just too old for that to become a reality. And so Zechariah understandably wanted to be sure that he understood what the angel was saying. He wanted to be sure that he could understand how this was going to happen, that the angel would come to an elderly priest and tell him and his aged wife that they would have a baby. Zechariah wanted to know. He wanted to understand. And the angel explained to him that that was not his role. It was not his role in this story to understand and have a perfect knowledge of what was going to come. And so, perhaps fittingly, Zechariah didn't get to tell any more of the story. Zechariah didn't get to tell any more of the story until today. Today, in our scripture reading, John the Baptist is born, and he's ready for his naming ceremony. He doesn't even have his name yet. He's so new. And they come to the naming ceremony, and of course, this is Elizabeth and Zechariah's neighbors and relatives, they're going to name this baby Zechariah after his father. And Elizabeth says, "No, we're going to name him John." But nobody believes her. Until Zechariah waves for a legal pad and writes down on there, "You heard the lady, his name is John." That's his name. His name is John. And that is when Zechariah lets loose with this elaborate song of praise. Notice here, Zechariah regains his voice by giving his voice to Elizabeth, by giving his support to what she is already saying. Men, there is a lesson there especially for us today. Zechariah gets to testify to God's steadfast mercy, first of all, by getting out of the way. The angel didn't ask Zechariah to please would you deliver on God's promises. The angel said to Zechariah, "You are going to be part of getting ready for God's promises to be made real in this world." Zechariah and Elizabeth and their son John, they are all just part of God's larger story. That's the story that Zechariah sings for us this morning, a story that we will sing again as the hymn following the sermon today. We get to sing this story, but the story is so much bigger than us. We know that God's story will come to fullness in Jesus. We are so close to Jesus' birth, you can almost taste it, even if it doesn't taste quite right this year. Jesus is the one who will incarnate God's mercy, the one who will make real in his own flesh God's steadfast love. That's the story that Zechariah sings today, a story of God's steadfast love in the past and the present and the future. In the present, this is a story of God's great mercy to Elizabeth. In the past, it was God's promised mercy to the covenant people. In the future, it will be God's tender mercy to those who are overshadowed by death. That is Jesus' life, yesterday and today and always. Zechariah sings about God's salvation, this past promise that we have been reading this year all the way from the book of Genesis. This gut-check mercy for the most vulnerable and the most in need. And this very present mercy for you particularly, in Jesus' particular life. And then there's that tender, powerful moment when Zechariah, who has been singing about God's mercy through time, he turns to his newborn son, John, and says, "You, child, you will become the prophet of the Most High." Zechariah turns from this praise for God's greatness to a parent's loving blessing on his long-awaited child. And John will grow up to be called that prophet. He will prepare the way for Jesus, whom we all await. That's why we get John's story first, because he is preparing the way for the one who is yet to come. John will go and preach the word of God's kingdom in a world that is suffering under the power of human rulers who don't care about grace or mercy. John will preach an invitation to change our way of life in order to welcome Jesus' forgiveness and healing. John will herald the dawn of a new day in a world that is living under the shadow of the death-dealing power of sin. John will be the one who will prepare the way for Jesus whom we await. So it's fitting that we meet John today, just before this holiday that we can't make happen, because he doesn't make it happen either. Just like us, John's role is to prepare the way for Jesus. Just like John, our role is to prepare the way for Jesus, who is already at work in our world. That way of steadfast love continues among us when we give generously to the congregation and our mission partners, when we support future leaders and past leaders through the Christmas joy offering, when we reach out to one another to continue to nurture this community where we bear witness to Jesus' love out there and right here for us. This way of steadfast love continues among us this week, when we lift up our neighbors, when we make room for Jesus to be born among us. Christmas is coming. It is almost here, as if on its own. And so we prepare the way of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now, a moment for mission. Today we dedicate the Christmas joy offering, which we are collecting each year during the Advent and Christmas season. The Christmas joy offering supports retired church workers and others who are in particular need, and supports Presbyterian colleges that are raising up new leadership, particularly among communities of color. And so we dedicate this offering. Here is Special Offerings Coordinator Bryce Wiebe to tell us a little bit more about the offering.
Many hands make light work. Teamwork makes the dream work. If we all do a little, it adds up to a lot. There are lots of ways to say it, but it really does ring true, that working together makes bigger and better things possible. It often makes things more fun, too. Being together. I think we realize just how important that's been in these past difficult days. Though we may not have been able to be together in person, we've always been able to be together in spirit and in faith. We miss seeing each other, but we have not been alone. There's a word that comes up this time of year, Emmanuel, and it means God is with us. God is with us means more than just God is along for the ride. It means that God values togetherness. God values relationship. And that causes us to value those things too. The Christmas joy offering is one way we join together as Presbyterians, one way we are with one another that comes up every year. Not only are we bound together by our gifts and through our giving, but our gifts change lives, joining us together with those church workers and their families who are experiencing a critical financial need through the Ministry of the Assistance Program of the Board of Pensions. These offerings join us together with the students of the schools and colleges, equipping communities of color, ensuring that the leadership for the church and world in the future will reflect the diversity that God intends for all God's creation. God is with us right now, all the time, and we are with one another through our gifts to the Christmas joy offering. Please give generously, for when we all do a little, it adds up to a lot.
Thank you for your gifts to the Christmas Joy Offering.
Thank you for giving to the Christmas Joy Offering and helping me and other pastors who have a need.
Thank you for believing in me, believing in Stillman, and thank you for your gifts to the Christmas Joy Offering.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.